We're joined now on the air by Orange County Conservative Ashley DeSena with all of those bills moving through the General Assembly in Raleigh. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So before we even start with the stuff in Raleigh, and I know we wanted to talk about the Supreme Court as well, we've got like 10 minutes to knock out six different topics. So I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but we want to start locally with the ongoing meeting of the Firearms Safety Committee,
which you've
actually been following fairly closely
and
skeptically.
Yes.
I have not been following it at all because to be perfectly honest, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, the gun issue completely bores me, but I'm going to let you take it away.
I mean, I'm one of those people that's really exactly the opposite. It's very fascinating. And this all got started back in February. I've talked about this on the show before, where the county commissioners were presented with this ordinance that was really restrictive. People didn't like it. They voted against it and formed this Firearm Safety Committee. So now the committee has finally gotten off the ground. It was appointed back in May by the county commissioners, and even that in and of itself was a little controversial.
Was there a way to make it not controversial? I mean, I feel like any sentence in America that includes the word gun in it is necessarily going to be controversial.
You're probably right. I don't doubt that at all. But what I'm talking about specifically was one of the people who applied to be on the committee, who was nominated by Commissioner Renee Price. Was ultimately rejected because
this was the laser.
They said he was pointing a laser at the county commissioners, which I have tried to ask the county commissioners about at past meetings and have not gotten a response. So I don't know how much merit there is to that statement or not. Regardless, the committee has been formed. It's sort of a balance between people who are very keen firearms enthusiasts and at least a couple of people who are very outspoken against, or want strict regulations on firearm, ownership and usage in the unincorporated areas of Orange County. We're not talking about the municipality. So as a resident of Hillsborough, I couldn't even be on this committee, but I do follow it because it is of interest. And I think the first meeting went fairly well. I mean, a lot. I'm not the only conservative. All the conservatives in Orange County, three of us are watching this committee with interest. And so, I feel fairly optimistic. But the committee still has a long way to go in forming an ordinance. There's going to be meetings throughout the summer. And ultimately, whatever is written is going to be presented at a public hearing in the fall. So, hopefully after this discussion, they can devise an ordinance if they have to. They don't actually have to write one, but if they do,
if they decide to,
one that will basically, uphold the what we have now, which is that if you're responsible for every round that leaves your property, if anybody gets hurt, you are responsible, and just reinforce existing state law. And, because in Orange County, according to the Sheriff's Department, very few people, they don't even keep track of how many people are injured by errant rounds. It happens so irregularly.
Right.
So that's my report on that.
Okay. So orangecountync.gov is the county's website. Can you go there to find the schedule of committee meetings, I think?
I think there should be.
They've got usually the commission meetings on there.
Right. That they should be up on the calendar. I don't think the next meeting is until mid to late July, so it may not quite be up yet. It meets irregularly, just when everybody can get in the same room, essentially. So.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. So that's still ongoing. Possible public hearing in the fall if they come up with an ordinance. And this is the original law that was the original ordinance that was proposed was like it sounded like a really great idea until they realized that it basically prevented all but two people from, firing.
It would have made it nearly impossible because it didn't explicitly have a land requirement in it, but the distances that you'd have to be away from neighboring property structures or property lines would have prohibited almost everybody.
Yeah.
It was, in effect, it was a ban on recreational shooting. So,
which I don't think it was ever intended to be, unless it Certainly not by the commissioners, because
I can't guess their intent, but the commissioners didn't pass it anyway.
Okay, so those meetings are ongoing. Again, orangecountync.gov if you want more information on that. And of course, we'll keep following that over the course of the summer and into the fall. So speaking with Ashley DeSena, and let's go up to the state level now with a whole bunch of bills moving through. Like, they're trying to wrap up the short session by the end of the week, I guess, because they want to be done by July 4th, and that's Monday. Right. So really by the end of the week. We got the budget going on. We've got House Bill 100, which is the sanctuary city issue. We've got House Bill 3, which is the income tax cap, which may wind up on the ballot in November if the state Senate and House approve it. We've got possible revisions to House Bill 2 as well, which haven't been introduced yet, but maybe still rumored, apparently. Let's start with House Bill 100, which is the sanctuary cities issue. Thoughts about that? I know we'll have more from Greg Meyer coming up next hour, but
Well, I'm sure he and I will have vastly different viewpoints.
Might disagree on that. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I have read through the law, and you know, as it exists now, and my feelings about it are a little complicated. I mean, basically, okay, well, I agree with people who grumble because it started out as a jury duty bill, and then there's all of a sudden this sanctuary cities.
Like tacked onto it.
Tacked onto it. And I hate bills like that. Yeah. It's just.
It's like every single bill, the federal level, state level, like they just, yeah.
Yeah, really. Ridiculous. I mean, it just make everything separate. It's why is it hard? But.
We'll never get it if we don't tack it onto a defense appropriations bill.
Right, exactly. And then, but so anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I feel like that local officials should do their best to comply with state and federal law. And those who don't should, you know, be held accountable. So, you know, I would rather see them be held accountable by their disappointed constituents and who vote them out of office. But barring that, there's the state can take action against local governments who don't want to enforce immigration. And so the state has decided to, you know, withhold funds for, I want to say, was it infrastructure? Or
schools and roads.
Schools and roads.
Schools is a big deal.
I'm not sure how just... you know, optically speaking, how great it is to throw schools into the funds that you'll withhold. But when there's 57 cents of every dollar that's sent to Raleigh is for schools, maybe it's hard not to.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that I don't disagree with the intent of this bill. I don't know how well the details of it are really going to work toward this goal, or if it will get local governments to enforce the law. You know, with the Attorney General is charged with enforcing this. I wonder if that his office will. So there's still a lot of questions that I have about it.
Let me ask you this, and I'm thinking about this sort of as more of an abstract question, and unfortunately we're starting to run out of time, so we've got to let you get in a couple minutes, as is typically the case. But it's sort of an abstract question related to this. You've got this bill that is trying to get local authorities to comply with this particular state and federal law and to like devote resources to complying with it. You've got local law enforcement officials, at least in Chapel Hill and Orange County and a couple of other municipalities in North Carolina, who say, look, our first priority here is to protect public safety. And if we complied with this law, as opposed to reaching out to undocumented residents in the community and trying to bring them in, this is actually counterproductive to public safety. What should the priority be if you're a local if you're a local law enforcement official and you're charged with enforcing state law, but at the very least you believe that you can better promote public safety by doing this other thing? What should you do?
Well, I think as far as, you know, the law enforcement priorities go, I can understand they only have so many resources. And I think that, you know, we are maybe going to touch on Supreme Court rulings if we have time. But yeah, there's a deadlock about President Obama's executive orders on immigration that, right, you know, was, you know, because it was deadlocked, it was being sent down to the lower court's ruling, yeah, which would have blocked it. They found it unconstitutional.
These 4-4 decisions are so much fun, aren't they?
Oh, well, sometimes. Yeah. The thing about it is, you know, I've read a lot of analysis of it, and they think, well, it's not really going to change a whole lot because immigration enforcement agencies are so strapped for resources that they're only going to be able to deal with the criminal element, essentially, of, you know, illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. And so I think that probably locally that's what is going to happen, or should happen, be top priority, in other mm-hmm. words, as well. It's not like they should go around and round up peaceable people, all things considered. But if they do find someone who's a criminal who, you know, has no documentation and cannot prove their legal status, then I think that should be their top priority.
I think that's the sanctuary city position.
Well, yes, but I don't think that it's – I think that the overall attitude of the local governments are different than what would be what it would be if they were if they were focused on, you know, the rule of law. I mean, they actually turn a blind eye to what the law states, and they want that to be okay in their municipalities. And I don't think that is wise, and I don't think that this works for every law. I mean, I think if the tables were turned, like, you know, if we were talking about gun control or something, and say the state had a ban on semi-automatic rifles or something, but there were cities that said, no, we're going to let our citizens just have whatever kind of guns they want to. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the situation would be flipped. I mean, it's a partisan issue.
Everyone would make exactly the same arguments on the other
side. Right. It's a partisan issue, and I think that the skirting the rule of law doesn't benefit anyone in the long run. And, you know, there should be consequences to local officials' actions.
We got to let you go. Ashley DeSena, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.